Hi, and welcome to Lead a Horse to Water, the Equine Training and Behaviour Podcast. And I, as usual, am Trudy Dempsey, and I am your host. This is going to be the last of the short episodes on cues. Fundamentally, these episodes are going to be useful for me to send some of my students to delve into cues and come back to me with questions. I would love for you listeners to come back at me with questions. I cannot believe that when you get to the end of the six, you haven't got questions like, hey, Trudy, I tried this and it didn't work. Why didn't it work? Let me know. It's always really good to have feedback. I get feedback in my groups that are full of my own students, but it's also really nice to hear from listeners who might have a very different thought process to me. Let me know what you're thinking, because it's just brilliant to be able to push myself to answer different questions. So do get in touch and let me know what you thought of the Q series and if it's raised some questions for you. I hope you are digging into your cues and finding the honesty within them, not to say things like, he knows what I want, to know that obviously he doesn't know, she doesn't know what you want if you're not getting the behaviour. Because we've been through all our what cues are, we've been through stimulus control, and we know that it's always us with the misunderstanding and not the horse. So this is the last one. I'm going to hopefully pull everything together and give you a good little technique when things have gone a little awry, or when you decide you want to change things in terms of cues. Just a reminder, if you're listening to this in real time, my next training course comes up at Understand Horses in February, early February 24. And there is one place on that for a scholarship, and that is a totally free scholarship. I mean, I think it's a bargain at £199 anyway for the full student package. With that, you get so much feedback. Now, isn't just me typing a couple of words in a forum or on Facebook. That's me looking at you in real time and saying, hey, look, try this. You know, drawing things onto the video for you to show you where your setup could be different and you could get different results. I am very supportive in my feedback, though. I'm not a nag and a picker. I am there to try and help you be the best. I've upgraded the course so that really now, if you've never done any clicker training with your horse, or you've tried, you've dipped your toe in and thought, oh God, so scary, can't do this on my own. And now the course will really support you whether you are brand new to it, or if you're partway in, and even if you think you're an amazing clicker trainer and you just want to have a perspective on the way I look at things. Certainly if you are thinking of jumping on board at some point when I get my trainer's course out, then this is the ideal course to come on and see if you like me ready for that. Anyway, on with cues and today's topic, which is actually cue transfer. So remember, we've talked about the best cues you can have. I've reminded you that sometimes using verbal cues and using a cue that might have been inappropriate because it sounds too much like another cue, or it's a word that pops out of your mouth a lot, or it's something you wanted to use for a reinforcement routine, any of those reasons, you might end up with a cue that you're not very keen on. And it might be a fabulous cue. It might be under full stimulus control, or it might not be. But it might be a cue that you have and you feel, actually, this is functioning the way I want it to, but I'd like it to be a different cue, or I'd like to have an as well cue. So this is where cue transfer comes in brilliantly. And if you think about it, if you think back to Pavlov's dogs and total association of one thing means the next thing's going to happen, we're just going to follow those principles. So I'll tell you a little bit about how it works in a moment. But to start with, this is going to be good for those of you who've had a dig in at your cues and have realized that you have about four different things. One might be where you train it. One might be the way you stand, the way you lean forward when you just before you say the cue. The other might be the way you move your arm or the way you've hovered towards your food bag, whatever, because you've videoed yourself, haven't you, dear listener? I hope you have. You now are seeing these areas where there could be some ambiguity. There could be some muckiness, and really, you know, you want to get straight and tidy. So it's a really good way, go through, work out what is actually functioning as your cue. So if we were stepping the horse back, is it you starting to turn to face towards the horse instead of facing forwards the same way as the horse? As you start to turn, is that functioning as the cue for the horse to step backwards? I will use that now going through because it's quite a nice easy one and I think you can picture it. So you and the horse are facing the same way, walking in the same direction. You halt. You want your horse to back and you think that your cue is turning around, facing your horse's shoulder into it, being in that position. And then once you've done that, that you say the word back and your horse steps back. What you've actually found out through digging in with looking at videos and slowing it right down like Trudy told you to, you are finding that actually your horse starts to shift its weight backwards the moment you start to turn to face him. So face the away from the way direction you were going in. So now we have a clear cue, me turning around. And it's great. I mean, it looks fantastic when you're doing liberty work. Yeah, I've got my rabbit ears up with liberty because, you know, my feelings on whether we call it liberty or not, but free work where you're not attached to the horse. And, you know, that's a great cue. It can look fantastic. You just slightly turn your shoulder towards the horse. He steps back and then you turn back the other way to go forwards and your horse walks forward. It looks like magic. But imagine that you then are planning in the future on riding that horse. So it's not actually quite so useful having a cue that is you turning around because you're always going to have somebody on the ground to help you. And you can cue transfer from somebody on the ground to somebody on board. I mean, that is one of the things that I do a lot with students. So what can we do in that situation? Well, we know that it's turning the shoulder. We want to move it to it being a verbal cue. So before we even begin to move our shoulders, we issue our verbal cue, which could be back. I have one lovely student some while back who used a beep beep, like a lorry going backwards cue for backing, which was very different to any of her other cues. And I think she had got it from somebody else. And I can't even give you that person's name and give them credit for it. But I thought, yeah, that's a very different sound for the horse. A very, very good verbal cue. But maybe we're just going to say back up, back up, back up. I don't know. Maybe we can say it in such a way that it sounds very different to anything else we say to our horse. So you are going to give your cue, let's say it's back up, and give that before you start to turn around and face the horse. So to begin with, back up will mean nothing. Remember, neutral stimulus has no value. Nothing. Zero. It means nothing to the horse. It's a word that a human's saying, which means nothing. But you say back up, little air gap, turn around and start to face the way you were going towards the back of the horse, and the horse starts to shift, clip, reinforce. So we want to capture that moment when the horse is just thinking about it. Oh, here we go, yeah. And then we can do that quite a lot. And because of Pavlov and classical conditioning, we know that stimuli stick together. We know that one stimulus will predict another. And then when one stimulus predicts another, we can wipe out the middle one and just use the new one. So new cue, old cue, original behavior. And then gradually that old cue just slips out of the picture, off it goes. And the way that we can do that, for me, one of the best ways is that little air gap between the new cue. So I say back up and I go to turn my shoulders around. I just extend that gap. Now, this is what we call trace conditioning. It's what we use with the clicker. Click, gap, food. It's a very small gap. It's an air gap to begin with. But you should be able to feel a difference between it. So it shouldn't be back as you, or back up as you start to turn. It should be back up, start to turn, and you get in the behavior following that. And then you just gradually make that gap bigger over time so that you say back up and you're already sensing your horse start shifting its weight backwards. Click, Don't wait till they've taken two or three steps. That's one of my massive big bugbears, that people start getting the behaviour and super quick, they're like, oh, he knows it. Conditioning can take quite a bit longer than that. It can take quite a lot less than that. It can be one incident, but it's never the incident that you want it to be. So remember the order. New cue, back up. Old cue, turn around. Behaviour, mark and reinforce. Slide out old behaviour so that new slide out old cue so that new cue maintains the behaviour. And it's as simple as that. Now, cue transfers can be verbal to verbal. So it could be that you chose a verbal cue and you've kicked yourself ever since. I think I told you about one of those with myself, and I've done that several times over the years, not thought about it. It's taken me a long time to consider that it's not whether it's relevant to me. So yes, it's important that you can access that cue in your brain. So back up makes sense because it is backing up. Beep, beep makes sense because it sounds like a lorry reversing. But there are others that might not make so much sense. So if I said trot, and I actually meant back up, that would confuse my brain. So I totally get that the cue needs to mean something to you as a trainer. But I also think we need to get past, oh, I heard this person doing this and it was really cool, and so I picked that. Pick it because you know in your horse's cues, it's really clean and tidy and it's going to sound different to anything else you do. So you can transfer cues verbal to verbal, you can transfer physical to verbal, verbal to physical, and verbal to tactile, physical to tactile. So if I'm teaching rein cues, for instance, I might be teaching a horse to target my hand and then drop a rein cue onto that, and then I want the rein cue to actually be the cue. So I'm thinking, how do I do cue transfer? I pick up the rein, I offer my hand to target, the horse targets, and I start dropping out the target bit, because as soon as I feel the rein, the horse goes, I know what comes next, she's going to offer me the target. And so we use that wonderful thing of anticipation. I'm years and years ago, when I was doing dressage more than I did behavior and clicker training, I learned very quickly to use situations where the horse is going to, you know, go, oh yeah, I know what comes next. Yeah, oh yeah, I know, because we've done it 10 times at X. You know, if you halt and rein back at X 10 times, chances are the 11th time you go to X and rein back and halt, you're going to, the horse will just naturally rein back. Great time to fine tune your cues, but also be careful in terms of stimulus control. So anticipation is a great thing, but you shouldn't rely on it all the time. You need to really then begin to shape things properly afterwards, whether you're using traditional or more modern techniques of training, shaping, chaining things together. The great thing for me is the ridden side. So when we move from in hand work to ridden, often people say, oh, I use this cue because when I get on, it's going to make sense. Well, to me, the only ones that might make sense will be verbal. There are very few, oh, God, that's mean of me. Maybe some up near the wither might make sense. Certainly targets would make sense, but I just hate riding with targets. It's just, it looks strange. And I think we have to help people to feel that this isn't weird. But, you know, I do see some great riders using target, so that I'm being again a bit sniffy on that. But certainly, you know, I think that there's less chance that something on the ground will transfer to ridden. And to be honest, this was back in my traditional days as well, because people would say, oh, I use a touch up the girth with my finger or my whip so that when I'm riding, the horse will understand that exact cue. No, they don't, because your leg feels very different to your fingers touching at the girth. Sorry, it's just different. So ridden, transferring your cues from ground to ridden is really, really useful. And you can, like I do with a lot of my students, you can have somebody on the ground help you with that. So they are the old cue, remember. So you, the rider, offer the new cue, which might be walk on. The old cue might be moving my feet and the horse follows. So you say walk on, the ground person takes a breath and then steps forward. So we've got that lovely new cue, voice on board, old cue, feet on the ground, behavior, walking, mark and reward from the saddle. So it's so nice to be able to do that with quite a small amount of fuss. I mean, honestly, this can work so well if you do it systematically. If you start to overlap the new cue and the old cue, so it kind of blends, you're just going to end up with that big old mucky cue again that you had. You know that one where you shift your weight a bit, you lean forward, you hover over the bag with your hand, and then you use your verbal cue. So you don't want those, that muckiness. It has to be super clean if you're going to transfer it. So it's a great way, cue transferring. A, it's great fun. If you think about it, and you can try it with human beings too, but you know, think of the situation whereby every day somebody says, anyone want coffee? And you say, yes, please, I'll have a coffee. And then somebody comes in and says, not coffee, but anybody want a hot drink? Coffee, they say next. So old cue, coffee, new cue, hot drink. You start to say yes, because hot drink means coffee. So, you know, there are loads of ways that you could control this in life that, you know, it's very easy to transfer those new cues. Remember, I've talked about this a lot in terms of behavior bleeding backwards, because horses, us, everyone are always looking for hints that something's going to happen. It might be a word, it might be in the evening before I'm ready to go to bed and I get up to put the dogs out, it might be that I say, right, and shut my book. And that will be my dog's cue to get to the door and get ready to go out quick as they can so they can come in and have supper. You know, so those cues are always bleeding forward. So it's easy for us to do it intentionally, but you just need to be clean. Hope you will give some cue transferring a go, because it is brilliant fun, but it's also really useful for tidying up your cues. Don't be afraid. If you pick the wrong cue and you'd like to add a new cue, get on with it. And don't forget, apply for that scholarship or come join me on the course. You can audit too, but honestly, it's just, I love teaching that course. And I'm going to love it even more now that I've pulled so many more resources together with it. It's going to be great fun. So I look forward to seeing some of you in February. Have fun with your cues. And, you know, I might come back and do another 7, 8 if you've got any questions for me. Take care and safe riding. Happy handling, and enjoy your horses and your time with them.